Welcome back. A Tale of a Boon's Wife tackled some very hard, honest, and stereotypical issues towards women. Let's sit down and talk to the author, Fatuma Kusso, about these topics, living in a misogynistic society and violence against women through the lens of a young Somali woman who defies the convention and clan to marry the man she loves. Fatuma's first novel, Amran, was serialized in October Star Mogadishu Somali National Press in 1984. Fatuma also teaches English literature courses for Greater Essex County District School Board and is a mother of five adult children. Welcome to the show, Fatuma.
Thank you.
So we're talking about your book, Tale of a Boon's Wife. So without giving too much away, can you tell me a little bit about what the storyline is for the book?
The storyline is Abel, a young woman who belongs to the Bliss tribe, because Somali society is divided among tribes. Mm-hmm. And there is one general term in my mind which is called Bliss, which is the upper tribes, mm-hmm. or better or worthy tribes, and the Bone tribe, which is lower. So she is from the Bliss tribe, and she ends
Bliss?
Up Bliss, yeah. Okay. And she ends up marrying or wanting to marry a man from the Bone tribe. Mm-hmm. So in her mind, she doesn't see anything wrong with that decision, because he is a Somali man, he's a Muslim, practicing all that. But in her parents' mind and in her society's mind, that's not allowed. Mm-hmm. So the story goes through, and she marries before the war, mm-hmm. and then the civil war starts. So the story takes you through to examine the consequences of not only for Idil, not only for the man she decides to marry, but for the larger society consequence of when we decide some groups within the society are not worthy of mm-hmm. the other groups.
I mean, I read the book and I loved it, so mm-hmm. I think we'll leave it at that, so mm-hmm. we don't give away too much yeah. of the content of the story. You know, you decide to frame the story right in the heart of, you know, a tribalistic society in Somalia, mm-hmm. right? That was sort of the main, like, that's the main lens through which all of these issues come out.
Yes.
So was there a specific, like, did you intentionally decide, okay, this is the frame that I want to use? Or was it kind of a natural progression, and why did you use that frame?
I used that frame because I see that frame to be a human frame, mm-hmm. right? So we all, no matter what part of the world you're in, we have this desire to other people. Mm-hmm. And you can look at within our Canadian society, you yeah. can look at all over the Muslim world, and even in here, you see the difference between, you know, Native peoples versus the rest of the Canadian society. So it's, you could see black and white, you can see man and woman, you can see poor and rich, you can see all that. So it's this problem, mm-hmm. And a desire that's almost kind of like become so human that we have this tendency to other people. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was one lens that I was familiar with, which used to subjugate, mistreat, prejudice people because of not what they have done or what mm-hmm. they said, but who they were. Mm-hmm. That I could look at this lens. So that's one lens that I could look at an issue or a challenge or a conflict that is very human mm-hmm. in every part of the world.
So I think you also touched on a lot of, unfortunately or fortunately, a lot of other human issues that exist in our society. Mm-hmm. So I want to go through them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with Idil, like your main character, she's trying to grow up in a very misogynistic society, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. There are rape incidences, second marriages, mm-hmm. like all of those kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. When you look at mainstream or the West, they say, oh, that's typical of a Muslim society, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would you address that comment when someone says, well, your book only further stereotypes those issues of the Muslim society, growing up in a society where the male is the dominant figure, you know, you're forced to marry, et cetera. How would you address that?
I think it's to look at this to be just Somali issue, I think it'll be minimizing the issue. Mm-hmm. I think the issue that the story deals at the conflicts the characters face are looking at imbalances of something. Mm-hmm. And And of course, this is not a Muslim issue because a Muslim doesn't condone forced marriages and yeah. doesn't condone rape and doesn't condone, pushing people down. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, people within that context, Somali context, could unfortunately use the religion to subjugate people or make it part of mm-hmm. what they do. If you see, that whole idea of man being able to have more than one wife, right? So that might exist within the Islamic tradition practices context, but that's not what the intentions were. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it should be used, having, mm-hmm. 11-year-old, 12-year-old, that even her father doesn't agree to it, her parents do not agree to it. That's not what it's condoned. So it's this whole idea of, and of course we have it here, we have gender imbalances.
Yep.
And you would hear, interestingly enough, if you hear the whole idea of honor killing a man who kills his wife mm-hmm. or whatever, if it happens in the context of this society, in our society in North America, we call that domestic abuse. We call it domestic violence.
Yeah.
But take that same thing and put it in Somalia or in Pakistan or anywhere you want, and then it becomes honor killing, or totally mm-hmm. becomes something different.
Yeah.
If we have a violence against women, we have a violence against women mm-hmm. everywhere in the world. And if we have, power imbalances, it could be caused by gender, could be caused by race, could be caused by religion, then we have power imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
So you can wear these lenses and look at how it happens, power imbalances and subjugations in America based on race. You could look at it in Canada and look at, native versus non-native. You could look at black versus white. You can look at, and you see all those contrasts.
Mm-hmm.
So setting it in Somalia and using the tribal conflict and examining the whole idea of, the gender imbalances and tribal imbalances is just one vehicle,
mm-hmm.
it's just one lens, it's just one camera to zoom into that issue. You could really take the names of those characters and take the setting and replace with any setting you want, and the story would be just as horrifying
mm-hmm.
as how we as human beings treat other human beings.
Mm-hmm. So just speaking about, contrasting contrasting issues, mm-hmm. Even with your characters, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the males for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did in my opinion anyway, it was a good balance of, you had those very difficult figures who were mm-hmm. violent against women, and they supported, domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
but then you also had some very wonderful, Muslim men who were just super kind and
mm-hmm.
nice human beings.
Yeah.
So coming into the story, was this sort of intentional on your part that you before you wrote the story, you said, okay, this is the theme that I'm going with.
Yeah.
These are the X number of horrible characters, for lack of a better
yeah.
word, and these are the good ones that are going to be in it. So was that intentional on your part, or how
Not
did that
really.
Happen?
I think when I go into a story, my what I have in mind at the time is where the story starts
mm-hmm.
and where it ends and what are the main conflicts. And I think this might come crazy to anybody who's not a writer, but at the end, the characters take over and they become who they are. And I'm just kind of like a vehicle telling their story. Not only are the characters different, but even within a character, you see changes. For example, Idris' father, at the beginning of the story, comes across as someone that's admirable.
Yeah.
Idil admires him, although it just lasts really not even a chapter. That admiration dies, and then he has all these, really challenging characteristics that come through. But at the beginning of the novel, he's admiring, he tells her these stories, and even her mother at one point says, "I pray you marry a husband as grand as your father."
Mm-hmm.
But us reading, we could see Idil actually marries a man better than her father.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, that kind of relationship is not allowed to flourish because of the social restrictions
mm-hmm.
that are surrounding. So even within that, and Idil's two brothers raised by the same parents are totally two different characters. So that, I think, comes across to show that you can't really say, and I think part of me was trying to show, you can't really say all Somali men are this, or all Muslim men are this, mm-hmm. or all women are this. So we have differences, we have
nuances. I think even with the women, you had some very strong characters who were very dominant in their personality, but you had other women who were clearly very submissive in their relationships with their partners, but then they were sort of dominant in their own ways, and I think that's what...
So if you look at Idris' mother, for example, the women are not, the women are not really powerless. Mm-hmm. And we could see in some aspects of family life, Idris' mother is the one that calls the shots. For example, her older son brings home a woman that's non-Muslim, non-Somali. You know, both the father and the son had to work hard to keep the mother happy and allow her to make her son marry, take a second wife as a Somali wife, the one that will give him children and so on. And she chooses the wife and she chooses the wedding and she chooses everything to do with that. So she has a power in that sense. But when you look at Idil, for example, and her mother, the difference is Idil's mother never says to her daughter, what you want is wrong. Yeah. Loving this man, she never says loving this man is wrong. She doesn't say, you know, you're doing something wrong. But she tells her, she tries to encourage her daughter to stay within the social,
within the confines of society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's a lot of readers do not really like her because she comes across as she's going against her daughter's happiness. But Idris' mother realizes that there is really going to be a severe consequences for Idil doing what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. Not because what she wants to do is wrong, but what she wants to do is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And those of us that are parents, there are things that we do that we think it's to save our children, whether it's a daughter or a son.
Yeah.
But look, when you look back 10 years later, you might see it as though that was not really the best thing you could have done. But at the time you're doing it, you see, and this is not to condone something horrible that's happened to the kids, but it's the idea of being a parent and trying to save your child from heartache. I think that's where Idil's mom comes from, where Idil says, this is what I want. There's nothing, you know, Islamically, morally, legally wrong with this. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. But doing it, as we can see when you read the book, has, you know, really severe consequence for everybody involved.
And I think on top of all of this, in the book, you also talk about issues related to racism and even white superiority to a certain extent, where, you know, a white woman is married into the family.
Yeah.
How did you sort of decide, was that sort of a theme that you wanted to address and have the family deal with it, or was it again one of those framing things where it just came up?
I think part of it came up and part of it was to frame and kind of like push the envelope a little bit because and I think it happens in other societies too. For example, when you look at the image that we present as Canadians, for example, when we're outside the country, within the country, we're always not like the Americans. We don't have racism issues. We don't have anything. But when you look at within the Canadian society, you see we have a lot of problems. We have enough problems to last us a lifetime. But then it's the same thing. When you look at the Somali context, people in Somalia kind of like would tell you we are all Muslim, from this, we speak same language, same color, we're all the same. Nobody's better than anybody else. So that's their public narrative. But privately, people would not want to marry from these people that look a little bit more African because they're lower class. So bringing a white woman into the picture, I think it was a way for me to show within that context. So this is Idil who wants to marry a man who's Muslim, who's kind to her, that she likes, and who's Somali, speaks the same language, but she's not allowed. And the parents are, even if the mother is trying to come up with some caveat, she's okay with her son being with non-Somali, non-Muslim woman. And when Idil asks her that question, her mother doesn't say, your brother's relationship is right, yours is wrong. She says to her, because if he has children with this woman, his children will look fairer
mm-hmm.
than the children you had. So in that context, even the value or the importance or the mandate to do what Islam demands, which is in that context, either should have been allowed to marry this man because there's no really reason for her not to.
Mm-hmm.
That the need for tribal purity, or at least appearance for tribal purity, overrides everything and it's more important. And I think that's why I have that there to bring that point home, to see sometimes what we believe in the public might not really what we will do in private mm-hmm. when it comes to it.
And even just that point that you brought up, it reminded me now about, you know, his kids will look different because
yeah,
they'll be fairer. That speaks to now the issues of racism
yeah.
that we have even within, you know, the broader community about
yeah.
black
within
and
the
white
black community,
and sort
yeah.
of wanting to look
yeah.
fairer and
yeah.
that somehow makes you
better
person. In some ways. And
yeah.
that's, again,
and better
that's an
quality.
Issue.
And it happens within
yeah.
Within this, not within the black community and within the Somali community, even in outside the country, where the fairer you are in the skin, the better you are
yeah.
in the context of the tribal ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's so many issues that
mm-hmm.
the book addresses. What are you hoping, readers take away when they read this book about characters, about it being set in Somalia and all of these issues? What do you hope when a reader finishes a book, what are some, what's the take, what were you hoping a reader would take away from it?
I think one thing that I would want any reader, whether they are familiar with the context of the story or not, is any reader to take away the idea that there is a consequence for this drive, this decision, this wanting to have the always the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you would, and it's everywhere, and be able to see it as a human conflict and human challenge. One we all have to, in our personal lives, in private lives, in public lives, one we have to contend with, you know,
think,
and kind of
yeah.
like be careful with how much of that do we participate. Because when you look at it, othering people in that story's context didn't only end with Idil. It had, you know, ripples that would continue
yeah.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why Somalia, almost 30 years later of civil war, cannot recover still. Because
mm-hmm.
we still have those challenges that we don't really want to face with. And that's why we have it in Canada. So people look at it and see, you know, there is a severe consequence, for example, for any Canadian government to have something about not treat natives the same rest
mm-hmm.
of
them.
It's
yeah.
a severe consequence for Somalia, for one tribe to treat another, for a woman to be treated this way or that way, for people of color to be treated this way or that way. So there is anything that I want a reader to take away. One thing, if they could only take one thing, would be to look at what are the consequences of
mm-hmm.
treating those as the other.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we see or we don't want, Toronto is dealing for the last few days, these new refugees coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have to have the other to
yeah.
demonize, other to subjugate. So maybe we feel better. I don't know what the reasons are, but I think to look at that very seriously.
I think you've given us something very powerful
mm-hmm.
To think about, and definitely brought that to mind after I finished reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Just as we wrap up, so tell me, I know you told me you're working on another book, so give us a little bit about that.
So I'm working on another book now. The working title is The Winter of My Spring, and the story that takes place about the 3 months, about maybe 12 weeks of the springtime, and it takes place in Africa. So I finished, I think, the second draft now, so I'm going to came back from the beta readers and people who are helping me critique it, so I'm working through it to edit it, and the goal is to start sending it out in September. And and the story, this one, is similarly set also in Somalia, a small harbor town in Somalia. And it's adult fiction, although the characters are between 13 and 15,
mm-hmm.
Still it deals with some really difficult issues that are adult issues.
Well, I know I can't ask you more, so I look forward to having you back to discuss the next book when it's published. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey YouTube, we hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.